at Acts chapter 10. So far in Acts, we've seen the powerful Holy Spirit at work through miracles and signs and wonders, providing opportunities for the church to proclaim the good news about Jesus, even though they'd been scattered because of persecution. And as the believers were moving, the Holy Spirit was moving them to preach the good news about Jesus. Chapter 8 verse 4 says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." God continued to save people as they heard the good news of Jesus and put their faith in him. Not only when they were gathered together, but even as they were scattered. God does extraordinary things through his people, even saving the most unlikely, like Saul, the zealous persecutor of the church. When it looked like the church would shrink and die, the kingdom of God was growing and vibrant. God was in control and always at work. What we read here in Acts are the triumphant acts of the risen Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the believers. And let me encourage you, he hasn't changed and he continues to work through the church today. Through increasingly difficult circumstances today, he presents us with a unique opportunity to share the sure hope we have in Jesus, holding out the gospel to a world of increasing uncertainty. So in Acts chapter 10, we zoom in on two men, Peter the apostle and Cornelius the centurion, and we see how God works through both of them to advance the gospel in a very significant way. But before we go any further, let's ask God to help us as we look at his word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us all this morning to hear your powerful word. Help us not to be distracted by the crazy week that we've had, nor the fact that we're looking at each other through screens. Father, speak to us by your word and change us into the likeness of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Have you ever witnessed worlds colliding? When someone belongs to a certain circle of friends or workmates and they have another group of friends or even their family, but typically they act very differently among one group of friends as they do around another. And when one group meets the other, worlds collide. And you find that person awkwardly in the middle. I hope that's not your personal experience, but unfortunately it is so very common. And when worlds collide, usually disaster follows. Today as we look at Acts chapter 10, we see two worlds colliding. But it's not a disaster, nor is there a red-faced person in the middle, but rather God is in the middle of these events, orchestrating his wonderful plans and purposes for the world. It's not a disaster that results, but rather an amazing opportunity for individual and corporate growth for the church. Let's take a look at the introduction of Cornelius in verses 1 and 2. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. But what's your first impression of Cornelius from verses 1 and 2? We may see him in a similar light to any other God-fearing man that we've met so far in Acts, those who feared God, the one true God of Israel. But even though he seemed to act like a Jew, Cornelius wasn't a Jew, nor a convert to Judaism. He was a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and very much a part of the Gentile world. Yet he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He came before God in prayer and he generously gave to those in need. His character was very much like you might expect from someone who belonged to the holy nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But in the eyes of the Jews, even the Jewish Christians at the time, Cornelius was quite the opposite of holy. Cornelius was unclean. And this was the man who God chose to reveal himself through a vision of an angel of God. A privilege that not many God-fearing Jews experienced. Take a look at verses 3 to 6. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and the gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea." So Cornelius had prayed, he spoke to God, and he heard God speaking to him through an angel in his vision. And then Cornelius was called to act. Just a quick note, there's something particular in this for all of us. Prayer is not merely one-way communication, but rather God prompts us, doesn't he, when we pray. When we pray, we relate to God. If you think that prayer is just people speaking into the air to make themselves feel better, then think again. We may not get to see visions of angels like Cornelius did, but God does speak to us. He puts certain people on our hearts. He reveals solutions to problems. He reminds us how to respond to issues in love. He brings Bible verses to mind just when you need them. He gives us the words of truth to speak to fellow believers, and he gives us the boldness to proclaim the gospel to those who are yet to believe. When we pray, we humbly come before God as we open up our hearts, and the Holy Spirit of God gives us a nudge, prompting us to act according to his will. We so often want to just ask God to do something for us and then sit back and wait for him to act. And while it is good to recognize and celebrate answer to prayer, I think it's important for us to recognize the opportunities that he provides us through prayer to respond to his prompting as we relate to God through prayer. So what's Cornelius' response when he hears God speak through his angel? Obedience. Granted, compared to the subtle nudge that we might more often experience through prayer, Cornelius gets a pretty big shove into action. But in order for Cornelius to find out the meaning of his vision, if he wants to find out the message that God has for him through Peter, then he does have to act. It does require obedience from Cornelius. Now, to be clear, God's not limited here, or ever, by our action or our failure to act. But in this case, God chose to act through Cornelius by giving him the opportunity to be obedient. And that's what happened. Have a look at verses 7 and 8. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Now to Peter. From what we learn about Peter in the Gospels and throughout Acts, he doesn't strike me as the most disciplined Jew, but he does hold strictly to the laws about clean and unclean foods and clean and unclean people. You see, Cornelius is not a guy who Peter would usually associate with. In the eyes of the Jews, Gentiles were unclean. Jews would limit any association with Gentiles. They wouldn't enter into their houses, nor would they have them enter into theirs. And they certainly wouldn't eat with them. Have you been feeling unclean lately? constantly being told to wash your hands, constantly being reminded of how many germs you're carrying. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel as if I'm some kind of dirty creature that just oozes grot. I feel like I'm just leaving a trail of germy slime behind me wherever I go. Well, it's actually not too far from the truth, really. It's an eye-opener, isn't it? You realise how often you touch your face when you're constantly being told not to. I'm trying really hard not to do that now. But for the record, I do trust that we're receiving really good advice about hygiene and social distancing, as difficult as that is. It's good advice. Well, that's how the Jews felt about the Gentiles. They distanced themselves from them. They considered them unclean. So that's the divide that we're talking about here between Jews and Gentiles. More than 1.5 metres apart, Peter and Cornelius were considered to be worlds apart. And as Cornelius' men were on their way to see Peter, which he had no idea about at this point, Peter went up on the roof to pray. And while he was praying, from verse 10, he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." In the late 80s, there was an ad on TV about steak. There were three guys stranded on a dinghy, I think it was a raft, in the middle of the sea, and they dreamed of eating steak. They described it to each other, and it was so satisfying, the description. It was as if they were actually eating it. It was a good ad. Well, let me be clear that here in Acts chapter 10, this is not a case of Peter getting hungry and falling asleep and dreaming of a nice juicy steak or succulent pork belly. If Peter were to be dreaming of food, he would not be dreaming of these animals, birds and reptiles described here in these verses. So there can be no doubt that this was not from Peter's imagination, but rather a divine vision from God, containing a message for Peter which was of vital importance for the church at the time and for the whole church across history, and of vital importance to our mission today. God showed Peter all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Now, I'm no Bear Grylls when it comes to food. I'm very fussy, which isn't a good thing for someone who's already on a restrictive diet. I look at a lot of good food and I just won't eat it. I just don't like it. But for Peter, a Jew, this food was unclean. He was disgusted by the thought of eating it. "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." This was a huge battle for Peter, a massive shift in his thinking. After a lifetime of obedience to God's food laws, he wouldn't have had the desire to eat or even touch any of these animals. Yet through this vision, God told him to get his hands dirty, kill and eat these animals. See, God was the one who had declared them to be unclean in the first place. And it is God who can declare anything or anyone clean as he chooses. So understandably, Peter wrestled with his thoughts about the vision, still not quite clear on its full meaning. The Holy Spirit speaks to him and we begin to see these two visions are connected. From verse 19, "While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs, do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. God prompted Peter by the Holy Spirit, and he had prompted Cornelius by an angel. And the obedience of both men will give each of them answers to the meaning of their own respective visions. Don't you just love how this all fits together? This colliding of worlds is looking less like a recipe for disaster and more like a match made in heaven. I've been so encouraged this week as I've been working through this chapter of Acts. This is such a brilliant reminder of how God was in control during this whole season of turmoil and uncertainty for the early church. They were persecuted, but God strengthened them to do extraordinary things. They were scattered, but God was in complete control and he prompted his people into action, adding to their number. He still continued to save people from death to life through faith in Jesus. And not just in spite of their difficult circumstances, but through them. He saved people because of their difficult circumstances. He was in control and is in control now. This is amazing. At a time when you'd expect that the church might have shrunk, it grew. Not by chance, but by God's sovereign grace. And we have to remember that today. Just think about it for a second. If you think that our current circumstance is debilitating for our church family, then think again. God uses all circumstances. And even among all the mess in the world, he creates opportunities for us to proclaim the good news of Jesus. The gospel will not be stopped by persecution, nor a virus, nor anything. The God of the universe, through the power of his Holy Spirit, will continue to save people through faith in Jesus until his return. We should certainly continue to pray for people in our community and people around the world. Pray that the effects of this virus will be minimized, and we should certainly continue to take the necessary appropriate precautions out of love for others. But whatever situation arises, God provides unique opportunities for us to love those around us and to share the good news of salvation through Jesus. In verse 23, Peter invites the men sent by Cornelius into the house where he's staying. This might seem to us like a small detail in the story, but remember the divide between the Jews and the Gentiles. Inviting these men into the house to be his guests was a courageous act of care in obedience to the Holy Spirit. I wonder how different things would have been if Peter hadn't received the vision from God and the words from the Holy Spirit. If these three men had just turned up and told him the story, I doubt that Peter would have believed them. But with the prompting of the Holy Spirit, Peter followed his lead. From the second half of verse 23, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. I'll keep going. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." Don't you just love what Cornelius did? Not the part where he fell at Peter's feet, but the way he invited his relatives and friends to hear the message. He didn't even really know how Peter would respond or what he'd say. But he trusted God. He trusted that Peter would tell him what God wanted him to hear. And he also didn't want to keep it to himself. That's what's cool. We know he's a generous man, and he proves it here by inviting a whole stack of people into his house. And perhaps you, like me, are a little bit jealous of Cornelius at the moment, being able to invite a stack of people into your house to hear the good news. If this was a message that God wanted Cornelius to hear, then why not share it with as many people as possible? So that's what he did. Verse 27 says, it was a large gathering. And the result of all this, from prayer to listening to God to acting in obedience, the result was truly amazing. A continuation of the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that we saw way back in Acts chapter 2 when the apostles first received the Holy Spirit in power. God has shown Peter that it wasn't up to him to decide who was clean and who was unclean. He was starting to understand what his vision was all about, not just about food, but Peter's heart toward others. God was giving Peter a heart for the lost, including Gentiles. After Cornelius explained his vision to Peter in verses 30 to 33, and coupled with his own vision, in the presence of Cornelius and the crowd of people gathered with him, Peter had the aha moment. The penny dropped. The meaning of his vision was fully revealed to him because he obediently followed the Spirit's leading. What a wonderful blessing that Peter received. To know God's plans more fully, to know God's own heart more deeply. A blessing that he would not have received if he had not acted in accordance with the Holy Spirit's lead. Have a look at verses 34 and 35. Then Peter began to speak. This is the moment. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. I love how Peter acknowledges the grace of God, not just because he accepts Gentiles, but through faith in Jesus, he accepts sinners from every nation, from every background, from every language and tribe, every age group. The barrier between Jew and Gentile had been removed, and the barrier between all people had now been removed. God shows no favoritism. He accepts people from anywhere who fear him. Peter realized that the one true God had always planned to gather one people. No classes, no divides, no favoritism. One united people receiving the same amazing grace of God. When Peter realized that he had received God's grace, that he was as much in need of forgiveness as anyone else, equally sinful and equally loved, his attitude towards Gentiles changed. Only through faith in Jesus has God declared anyone clean, holy, his own dearly loved children. Because Jesus lived the only holy life, and only Jesus could and did pay the price for our rebellion. He showed no favoritism. When he paid the price for our sin on the cross, God gave everything equally for every sinner, for Peter and the apostles, for Cornelius and his family, for you and for me. God gave us his own perfect Son to redeem us and unite us, declaring us clean, his holy people for eternity, people from every nation, tribe and language, all belonging to God and belonging to each other. In verses 36 to 38, Peter reminds his audience of the things that they had no doubt already heard about Jesus. But then he gets to the critical information. The victory of the risen Lord Jesus. That is what, or rather who, they were witnesses of. The resurrection of Jesus. The proof of his love and power, his victory over sin and death, and the offer of eternal life in him through the forgiveness of sin. Verse 43 says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This was the message that Cornelius was waiting for. The good news. And this good news hasn't changed. God forgives sin and saves through faith in Jesus. This is on offer for all people. Verses 44 to 47, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Holy Spirit just as we have." In the same way that the first group of Jewish believers received the Holy Spirit spectacularly and publicly in chapter 2, this group of Gentiles spectacularly received the same Holy Spirit. And now there can be no doubt for Peter that the divide between Jews and Gentiles has been abolished by Jesus. The divide between any and all people has been abolished by Jesus. The law had been fulfilled by Jesus. And therefore, it no longer separated Jews from Gentiles. Peter and Cornelius, though culturally different, they're actually not from different worlds. They're from the same world, our world, plagued by our sin. Their problem and our problem is the same. Sin that leads to death, and the solution is the same. The gospel that we hold out to the uncertain, hurting, confused world, that Jesus paid the price for our sin and gives us life, his everlasting, perfect life. A lot of people in our church family have been saying how cool it is that we've been studying Acts, seeing how God continues to be faithful to his people even if they are unable to meet together in one place. And it is cool. And here we are, scattered due to our current unexpected circumstances, yet God is still in control today, just as he was then. Just as he always has been and always will be. What a hope we have to share with the world in such a time of uncertainty. And what a blessing it is for us to be able to stay connected through technology. But technology can prove unreliable. So let's be encouraged to be creative about how we continue to love each other. And how we love those in our community with the love of Christ. Let's keep our eyes open to the unique opportunities that God presents us in these times, as he opens our hearts to love all people with the love that God has shown to us in Jesus. Let's continue to pray and listen for his voice, prompting us to act in love for each other and for the world. I wonder if you can think of anyone right now who is outside of God's kingdom, who need to know the good news about Jesus. But someone that you've just thought, no, Lord, not them. Have you asked for opportunities to share the gospel with others and been prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak the truth to a particular person, but you've just put your fingers in your ears and hope that you've misheard? Well, I hope that you're reminded, as I am today, that God shows no favoritism. God shows no favoritism, and with hearts changed and filled by the Holy Spirit, we therefore will show no favoritism. Remember what the Holy Spirit does. He provides a platform for gospel declaration. It might not be ideal, it might not be pleasant, or what we dreamed of, but if we have our eyes open to what God is doing, even during difficult times, then we will enjoy a time of growth. And you might be finding that hard to believe, our God is the same God now as he was back then. We will enjoy a time of growth. Jesus was obedient for our sake. Through his death on the cross, the most excruciating, lonely, and humiliating death. And even in those most difficult circumstances, our Lord Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. The joy of saving a people for the glory of God. He endured the cross for the joy of saving you and me for eternity. Didn't expect that one. The love of Jesus breaks down all barriers. All the barriers that we put up between ourselves and others. And through these current circumstances, let's pray. Let's listen to God and act in obedience to his will. That he'll continue to save through faith in the precious and most powerful name of Jesus. For there's no other name by which we can be saved but Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would search our hearts and reveal to us any pride or arrogance, any sense of self-righteousness. And Lord, we pray that you would change us, change our hearts, Lord, to see your amazing grace for us. Lord, prompt us into action, to love rather than judge. Father, give us wisdom in these challenging and changing times. Lord, give us patience with each other. And please give us opportunities to creatively love others and share the gospel so that you will be glorified as more people are saved by your grace through faith in the living, victorious Lord Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, I think it's back to you, Stu. Okay. We get sound again shortly.
It's across all nations, any nationality, who trust in Christ, great to all, great.